24:13. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them,
What manner of communications are these that you have one to another, as you walk and as sat?
And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them,
What things?
And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. And we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not the body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them,
O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?
And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in the breaking of bread. Now listen as Kevin reads again, verse 32. Notice the word heart as it is used. And after he reads verse 32, Gary will lead us in the song announcement.
And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures?
Have thine affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Hast thou dominion o'er self and o'er sin? Is thy heart right with God? Over all evil without and within, is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God. Are all thy powers under Jesus' control? Is thy heart right with God? Does he each moment abide in thy soul? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy heart right with God? Washed in the crimson flood,
cases of heartburn that I can ever remember. I don't want to take the time tonight to tell you all the different things that I ate yesterday. But last night, I had a case of heartburn. I couldn't find any Tums or Rolaids. Judy said she had some, but she was asleep, and I didn't awaken her. This morning, I had a case of a burning heart. I just couldn't wait to get to the building this morning. I was here just a little before 7 o'clock. I usually don't come till about 7:15. But I wanted to be here. This was a great day. I knew it was going to be a great day. And my heart burned within me to get here and to start participating in what would be the events of this day of worship to God. Last night, I had heartburn. This morning, I had a burning heart. I want to suggest to you tonight and then show by just looking at a few things in this chapter that probably each one of us, spiritually speaking, either has heartburn or a burning heart. Heartburn is caused when a person, at least usually it is, when a person eats too much and doesn't digest it as it ought to be digested. He's had plenty to eat. Sometimes it may be that he's eating the wrong things, but many times it's not that he's eating anything that's bad. In my case, it may be the amount. But he's eaten something, and there is something about the body that doesn't digest it so that the value in that food can go to work in his body, and he has a problem with heartburn. A burning heart is that desire to do something. There is the difference that we're talking about. This story that we have just read in Luke 24 is centered, I think, in a sense around verse 32 that you've heard read twice. Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? I think it is evident that these two men had a case of spiritual heartburn before Jesus let them see who he really was. And after that point, had a case of a burning heart. These two men were just seemingly average disciples of Jesus Christ. They were not two of the apostles, because you'll notice in the story that they went back to appear to the 11. Judas was not with them. Matthias had not been selected. They went back to appear to the 11, so these two were not apostles. They were disciples of Jesus Christ. They, like the apostles to some extent, and perhaps most of the disciples of Jesus, evidently had some misunderstanding of the purpose for which Christ had come. It appears that they may, at least in part, have been expecting Christ to set up an earthly kingdom. And now Christ has been killed. Jesus has been killed. They know that he's been crucified. They know that he was buried. They have heard that he was resurrected. But it just seems, as you read this, that they're not convinced of that. They have heard of it. They are certainly interested in Jesus. They are followers of Jesus. They have heard a lot about him. They have the knowledge, but somehow or other this knowledge has not sunk in. And they have not digested all that they have heard. And now, with the disappointment of Jesus having been killed, they're on their way to Emmaus with a case of spiritual heartburn. They just haven't been able to digest it all. It appears that they may have a bit of self-pity, that they may be thinking, look what we had, and now we don't have it. What are we going to do? And I get the impression that they may have even been walking along with their heads down and just sort of talking one with another and mumbling, maybe, at least talking just with each other in a very depressed, disappointed, down condition. And yet the latter part of this passage presents just the opposite. The same two men who had spiritual heartburn and were down and depressed almost immediately changed to where they have a burning heart to do something about the situation. I want you to notice 4 points tonight. These 4 points apply here, and they apply to us. As you look at verse 32 and then the verses surrounding, notice what a burning heart did for these fellows. I want you to listen to what is in verse 31.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. You know, 31?
Right.
And their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight.
It's bad when a preacher gets in the wrong verse himself, and when two preachers get in the wrong verse, that's even worse. Notice their eyes were opened. Now, if you'll glance back to an earlier part of the chapter at verse 16, it says their eyes were holden. And I think there are even some King James versions that translate that their eyes were held, meaning that their eyes were not being used in the way that they could. But now that Jesus has appeared to them, notice they opened their eyes and they began to look at things. Having the right desire, having the burning heart within them, now that has changed from the way they were before Jesus has talked to them and appeared to them and told them who he was and got their attention and proved to them some things that they had not seen before. The same people whose eyes were sort of heavy, maybe a bit sleepy, spiritually speaking, not open enough to see what was going on, are now open. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Folks, one of the things that we need so much today in the work of the church is to open our eyes, to look. To look into God's word, to know the message, to look around us, to see the opportunities, to look at the blessings that flow in our direction so that we can really know who we are and what we are and what we have. These fellows whose eyes were holden previously now had eyes that were opened. Their eyes were opened, and they knew him. Now notice what's in verse 34.
Saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon.
You remember back earlier in the chapter, they said, we've heard that the Lord is risen. Even as they were talking to Jesus before they realized who he was, along about verse 23, they said that some of these women have seen, or at least they say they have seen him, and an angel reported to them that he is risen. They said, we've heard that he is alive. But notice what they say in the verse that was just read in 34. They went back to talk to the apostles, and they said, the Lord is risen indeed. There are two words in that little statement that I would underscore, the word Lord and the word indeed. They've been talking about him as Jesus. As they were discussing this earlier, they said, well, haven't you heard about this Jesus, about this Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and in word before God and all the people, verse 19. But notice now what the burning heart produces. It's not a faith based on hearsay. It's not a faith that says we've heard what the women have said and we've heard that these things were true. They said it is the Lord who is risen indeed. They called him Lord. They were convinced of what he was and who he was in a way that they had not been before. And they were convinced of his resurrection. They said, the Lord is risen indeed. And they even pointed out one of the ones who was there to whom they were speaking. They said, he's even appeared to Simon. There's another witness that can tell you what we're saying is true. We have seen him. He is risen indeed. We know what we're talking about. It's the Lord. He is risen indeed. They went from a hearsay-based faith to a personal, dedicated, intellectual faith based on the facts that they knew. A burning heart produces open eyes, and a burning heart will produce a dedicated intellect. Now notice verse 33.
And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them to go with them.
By just looking at the text, I don't see the word walk in the first few verses of this reading, nor the word run in the verse that you just heard. And yet when I look at the whole context, I believe I do. Evidently, it took them a long period of time to make this trip down to Emmaus, about 6 3/4 to 7 miles. And you can just sort of read between the lines, at least. It says there in verse 13, they went. And there's nothing to indicate that there was any urgency about the trip. They may have just been sort of strolling along. May have taken several hours to make this 7 mile trip. They were just sort of walking along. But then look again at verse 33. They rose up. And it doesn't say that they ran, and yet it does say that they ran, because it was almost evening when they began their trip. And they went that same night. They did not wait till the next morning. They went that same night back that 7 miles, which now probably was more uphill, whereas it may have been downhill as they walked. They rose up the same hour, and they returned. I think we're not doing any damage to the verse to read it. They rose up and they ran to Jerusalem in order to report what they had heard. The walking feet of the few hours before this became the running feet of these two men as they went back to Jerusalem. They now realized something about the urgency of it. They wanted to get back there as quickly as they could. They could have very easily said, well, it's dark, it's already evening, it's a long trip by foot, let's get a good night's rest, and we'll get up early in the morning, and we'll go back and tell the apostles. Oh, no. They rose up at that very time. When they realized, without a doubt, that this was Jesus, and that he was Lord, they arose at that very time, and they ran to get back to Jerusalem. And then notice what is said in verse 35.
And they told what things were done in the way, and how he was known of them in breaking of bread.
They told. They told others about what had happened. Previously, they had been talking to themselves. Notice earlier in the chapter, they talked together. And evidently were so involved in their talking one to the other that they didn't even look up, or at least did not realize who Jesus was as he joined them on the trip. And now they go back to Jerusalem and they told what they had seen. A burning heart, folks, produces a talking tongue. A tongue that cannot be kept quiet about Christ and about his resurrection and what he means to the world. Now contrast these two men in the earlier part of the passage and in the latter part. Two men went down to Emmaus, probably taking hours for their trip, walking along, strolling along, disappointed, discouraged, wondering what was ahead, talking among themselves in no big hurry, seemingly to do anything. Jesus joined them. And I wish I could hear the sermon that Jesus preached that's described in verse 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. That must have been a sermon. That must have been some sermon. You read the sermon that Stephen preached over in the book of Acts, where he talked about things that had happened down through the history relative to Christ. And you read the sermons that Peter preached, where he mentioned some of the things that had happened in the prophecies concerning Christ. And this says that Jesus began at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He gave them a sermon. They heard it. And even at that point, they still had spiritual heartburn. They had had so much food thrown at them. They had heard so much in perhaps a relatively short period of time. And they had not digested it. They had not taken it in where it needed to be and considered it as they should. And then all of a sudden, after they go into the house and Jesus takes bread and blesses it and breaks it and gives it to them, somehow or other, whatever the reason and the circumstances, they see Jesus for who he is. And they have a burning heart. And that burning heart produces four things. It opened their eyes. It solidified their faith. It caused their feet to run and their tongue to tell. that the Lord is risen today. I suggest to you tonight that that's the kind of burning heart that we have. It may well be, if we're honest with ourselves, that in too many of our cases, maybe to some degree in all of our cases, we have a little bit of spiritual heartburn. Those of us that are in this building tonight have heard enough gospel to convert the world. Brother Oldham was just telling us a few minutes ago about teaching in the last few weeks to some people in Russia who'd not heard the gospel before, and how they tried to be sure that they taught them enough so that they understood before they wanted to be baptized. People who never heard about Jesus Christ before. And you and I have heard so much about Jesus. We've heard what others have said. We've heard the Bible preached. We've had sermon after sermon after sermon. Maybe sometimes we've heard so much and we haven't digested it and put it into practice that we have spiritual heartburn. Somehow or other, we've got to focus on this Lord that is risen in the boundary of God's Word and change from heartburn to a burning heart that gets us all fired up for the Lord. It is said back in Psalm 39, verse 3, my heart is hot. We need a burning heart. We need to be all fired up to tell people about Jesus Christ, about His Word, about His church, about salvation. Do you have heartburn tonight or a burning heart? Do you have a spiritual heartburn that makes you feel miserable? And heartburn does. Because you have heard and heard so much and you've taken it in, and yet somehow or other you've not digested it and put it into your spiritual body to work for the Lord. Is it heartburn? Or can we tonight have that burning heart that will open our eyes and solidify our faith and speed up our feet and open our mouths that our tongues can tell that the Lord is risen today indeed and wants to be our Savior? Like the lady whom we've mentioned time and time again, the crippled lady who said the reason she was able to do what she did was that she threw her heart out in front and the feet followed. I say to you tonight, if we can get on fire for the Lord and get our hearts to burning and get our hearts hot, that burning heart will produce open eyes, a solid face, running feet, and a talking tongue, and we'll be about carrying out the mission of Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we'll sing the song, I Am Resolved. When I thought of this passage and looked at it and looked at the effect that the burning heart had on these men, that song came to mind. In a sense, I think they said to themselves when they realized this was Jesus, we are resolved that we'll get up and go to Jerusalem tonight and do something about this. I hope that your heart burns within you tonight strong enough and hot enough to make you get up and do something about your spiritual condition if you're not right with God. To get your feet to walking so that you can come and your tongue can confess. And you can show by your actions that you believe that the Lord is risen indeed as you're buried with Him and risen with Him to walk in newness of life. Or if you've been sort of strolling along as the two on the road to Emmaus were with spiritual heartburn and not really working for the Lord, your heart needs to burn within you tonight and get you to where you'll get up and make things right and then go forth to do something in the Lord's service. Do you have heartburn and miserable, or a burning heart that will cause you to do the Lord's will? I hope your heart will burn in you enough to respond to the Lord's invitation, if that's your need, as together we sing.